You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope that your day has gone well, whether you're listening first thing at the 10 a.m. live broadcast or the 4 p.m. rebroadcast or downloaded and listening at your leisure on the breadboxmedia.podbean.com podcast. I hope your day has gone swimmingly well. Such a weird thing to say, but that's what came out of my mouth. So there you go. My morning has been hectic. Do you know, like, having young adults still living in your home and a teenager and a 10-year-old, it's just nuts. My friend once said to me, as her children grew older, that she was convinced that God created in us this turmoil with our teens so that we would be okay with them leaving the house. I think she's right. I'm ready for my teenagers. No, not my teen, but my young adult. He can leave the house. I'm good. Anytime now. It's just fine with me. I love him to pieces, but oh my goodness, he just makes my mornings insane. The guy should not be a personal alarm clock. I'm terrible myself getting up in the morning, never mind trying to get other people up. So it's been just crazy. So this week, I was going to be talking about Navigating the Tiber, new book out from Devin Rose, Catholic Answers, Press.com or Catholic Answers Press, and you can go to Catholic.com for more information. But Wednesday in adoration, I just had the most remarkable experience, and I really want to try to share it with you instead. I'm sure you'll forgive me for deviating from the format and from Devin's book. He'll be here tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, live, to talk all about navigating the Tiber, and he'll do a much better job at it than I will anyway. But I feel like, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just whacks me upside the head and says, no, talk about this. The first thing I want to share with you is this amazing opportunity that I had this week. I went four times to the same parish in Wareham, Massachusetts. It's St. Patrick's, beautiful church. And they do this intergenerational faith, faith formation. That's what we're looking for. And they offer four different times, which I think is incredibly generous. They offer a Saturday morning, a Sunday afternoon, and then two evening options where you come as a family and you have, if you come in the morning, you have breakfast get provided or lunch or dinner, which is again, very, very generous. The church provides that. And, the little ones go off and to different groups with teachers. I think they did like the first and second, the third and fourth, and the fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth or seventh, something like that. Anyway, then the confirmation kids, the eighth and ninth graders, stay upstairs with the adults and they bring in a speaker. Well, this time it was me. I've been blessed to go before. This time they called me in. I talked about the Bible one time. I talked about the Blessed Mother another time. And this time I was in talking about our universal call to holiness. And I thought, you know, like, where am I going to go with this? How am I going to talk about it? And it's an interesting audience because I'm used to talking to women who sign up to come to an event. So it's a very friendly audience. It's a very receptive audience. I think that's probably the better word, a more receptive audience. And I'm used to like them being there because they signed up and not because they feel like they have this obligation, but because they really, there's something that I was going to talk about that they wanted to hear. So it's kind of a little nerve-wracking, quite honestly, to address an audience where some people are just there out of obligation, very unwillingly. It's very difficult sometimes to talk to teenagers. Like, I started the show talking about my own teenagers. It can be, for me, it can be very unnerving, and I get very nervous. Anxiety just kicks right in. But I decided that I would start the conversation on our universal call to holiness with this incredible aha moment that I just recently have. And I love that the Lord does this for me. Like, he prepares me for what he's calling me to. So he knew before I did that I would be called to give this talk and that I would need material. Sometimes the material he gives me comes in these really great aha moments, and other times it comes from me living through stuff that I either regret or I have to learn things the hard way. But for instance, when I was going to start giving forgiveness talks, and I thought I was going to go talk about how I forgave people. And then in the meantime, before the first retreat, I actually had two instances where I had to ask people for forgiveness. I was like, what? No. But then I had a rounder vision of what forgiveness looks like. And those retreats are far more fruitful and beneficial now that the Lord has taught me that sometimes I'm the one that is messing up and needs to forgive, asked to be forgiven. And let me tell you, it makes you forgive others much quicker once you have understood what it feels like to be on the other side. And of course, we're always on the other side with God because we're always asking for his forgiveness and he never holds it back. So, and that's, you know, a lot of the teachings that he gives us in the scriptures. Why are we unforgiving to others when he is so forgiving to us? But that's another story for another day. I know I should do a show on forgiveness. I probably will. I did some much earlier in 2015, the first year we did the show, I did a lot of forgiveness stuff, but I think you're going to be noticing in 2017 a different flavor to the show, not to completely go off the rails here, but since I'm in this kind of frame today of just really, you know, letting the Holy Spirit guide me, in 2017, the show format will morph, change to a more faith-centered, less book-centered, more faith-centered, more scripture, more just everyday life. I mean, I try to do that anyway when I'm talking about the books, and there'll be a little less interviewing. I feel like I just want you and I to journey together with God in these scriptures, through the Spirit, and sharing our experiences and sharing what God does in his word and how, and I don't know, I've been really thinking about this for a long time. Of course, I'm a book girl, so I'm still going to talk about books, but the format won't be as structured. We won't go every week with one book. We're going to really focus on God's word and how the faith looks like in the everyday, ordinary life of our lives, and kind of like what I'm going to do this at today. So again, I'm always looking for your feedback. I got great feedback last time we did the show just on the scriptures, and many of you said you wanted more scripture, so I've been praying about that. And then the show is booked now till the end of the year with some really fabulous guests and books. That's what we talk about here, books. But next year, I really think 2017, let's kick it off with a year of really looking at the scriptures and how God speaks to us and how we know it's him and not us. And today's show is going to be about how the Lord, I think, really kind of answered that, yeah, that's where he's calling me. But just to finish up my story about this aha moment that I had, you know, to start off my talk. So I was talking about the universal call to holiness, and I really love, I have to say, that even though the audiences that are in the parishes that are kind of called in almost like out of obligation for their, you know, for their kids' faith formation obligations are sometimes not as receptive, but I think in the end, they're probably my favorite audiences because it's a time for them to hear a message that they might not ever hear unless they went there that day. Because I know for me, I learned the faith a very different way as a cradle Catholic. Like, the things that the Lord has taught me and that he has inspired me to go out and share was never shared with me. And I'm very grateful to have this opportunity. And just to look at these faces, I think they counted 85 people last night, and there was more the night before that. And then, so maybe all together, 300 people got to hear this incredible message of God's love. But I started out the night because I talked about prayer, sacrament, and scriptures. I really want people to hear this message, to embrace this message. the prayer, sacrament, and scriptures are foundation of faith. And once we spend more time in those three areas, our lives will be transformed. I'm seeing my life be transformed. Even after 10 years nearly of studying the scriptures and being in God's word and 7 years of ministry, I'm still seeing God transform my life. But I started the night by saying to the group, I put up a picture of George Washington, the space landing, and dinosaurs. And I said, you know, do you all accept these as history? And I talked a little bit more about each one. And they're like, yeah, of course this is history. I wasn't there, but I believe it happened. And, you know, I take people's words, their eyewitness accounts of these as truth, and I believe in them. And so then I put up a picture of Jesus. And I said, well, do you do that with this as well, with him as well? Do you believe that he existed, that he did miracles, that he died, that he rose again, that he's in heaven, that he ascended into heaven? Because those were all things people witnessed, that somebody stood and watched and then shared exactly the way that they did with George Washington and the space. I mean, we have some video of space, of course, but you know, the dinosaurs, we have physical evidence. We'll have physical evidence of Jesus. We have, and the saints, in the apostles and all of those things that happened, like this belief of Jesus Christ isn't based on fairy tale or myth or what we hope. It's based on truth. He lived. He was a human being. People saw him. People watched him create, perform miracles. They watched him die. And then they ate with him. You know, spirits don't need food. He ate. There's a reason they tell us that in the scriptures, because we need to see that he was truly brought back from the dead. When we come back, I want to really share with you some incredible experience I had with the scriptures yesterday in adoration. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This week's book, Navigating the Tiber by Devin Rose, Catholic Answers Press, Catholic.com, is put on hold for today because the Holy Spirit, I think, wanted us to go a different route. So please tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to listen to my interview with Devin Rose, where he'll talk all about the book. I talked about it a little bit yesterday, especially the part about our Blessed Mother. And it's a wonderful book. I feel like the Holy Spirit is just drawing us today to something new and different. I want to talk about adoration and more specifically, I guess, the scriptures. As you know, I'm always struggling with my anxiety, especially about my health. I found a journal the other day. Let me start here. I found a journal the other day from 2010, January 2010. One of the things I love about journaling is going back and reading my journals. Sometimes they just pile up and I never open them again. But I love when the Spirit really does direct me to go, hey, remember that? I was looking for something. I lost something. Surprise, surprise. I was looking for it. And then looking for this lost piece of paper, I was going through my journals because I'm like, it has to be tucked into one of these journals. I've been journaling now pretty regularly since 2006. Yes, 2006. And so you can imagine I have lots and lots and lots and lots of journals. And every once in a while, you know, the Holy Spirit brings me back. And I do. I take them with me to adoration often. It's a time where it's quiet. And all my journaling, it's not like I do Dear Diary stuff, though there is some Dear Diary stuff in there. For the most part, I journal my interactions with the scriptures, with my prayers, and just the thoughts that come to me in prayer. And I do a lot of journaling in adoration. It's probably where the majority of my journaling takes place, either in adoration or in my morning or afternoon or night prayer time. So during prayer time and during adoration time. And so I found this one from I found this journal from 2010, and I brought it with me to adoration. And I'm a different colored pen girl. I don't know if you're anything like that, but I have just pens everywhere in different colors. And so it helps me also when I go back. I like to write in my journals, because like if I've prayed for somebody, I like to write what's happened, or you know, where the Lord has brought me in the years. And I often hope and look for growth in some of the things that have kept me anxious, or you know, the temptations, or and I realize I have like three really main themes. I'm always working on my spirituality, my weight, and my finances. Oh, and my anxiety. So those four areas seem to be just who I am. Like I struggle with and go back and forth on my weight, my finances, my emotional health, and my spirituality. And in looking back at 2010 really cemented that, because here I find these, that's a terrible noise. I'm sorry. I'm just overwhelmed, but I'm finding the same messages I'm writing 6 years ago that I'm still struggling with now. I guess it's because it's part of who I am. It's not defeating, but it shows that this is me. This is my temperament. These are my crosses. You know, pick up your crosses daily, St. Luke tells us, and St. Matthew tells us to pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. And our crosses are who we are. And some of them are heavier than others, and some that we will overcome, and some we may never overcome. I will probably be battling my tendency to want to overeat for the rest of my life. There's certain foods that I'm just drawn to. And even with my eating issues and trying to give up gluten and dairy, I still struggle. My son brought home cookies yesterday. His new girlfriend, who's adorable, and her family, which is also equally as adorable, made my family sugar cookies frosted with, you know, Halloween decorations on them. And without even hesitating, because I had a glass of wine, I came home from this wonderful talk with these beautiful people. And, you know, it's really just my heart just overflowing. And I was like, you know what? I just want to relax and have a glass of wine, watch some sports with my hubby. And then my son comes home with these cookies, and I know they're going to make me sick. And yet, did I stop? Did I eat just one? No, I ate two, because I thought, well, if I'm already going to eat, this is my thought process. If I'm going to eat one and it's going to make me sick, I might as well eat both of them and just get it out of the way. Like a couple weeks ago, I had a piece of pizza, which is like the worst thing I can eat ever. And I'm still feeling the effects of it. It takes at least 2 weeks for the thing, like the gluten and the dairy, once in my system, to get out of my system. But yet, I still do it. I've, you know, fallen off tracking from Weight Watchers. I've gained a few pounds, but it's hard, you know, like it's not going to come natural to me. And I'm going to, you know, growing up living basically on sweetbread and butter, because I'm Portuguese, I love sweetbread. It's very hard for me not to want these things, to be drawn to these things. It's very much what St. Paul says in Romans 7. Like, I know what I should do, and I want to do what's right, but yet I keep falling back into these behaviors or these temptations, and I need God's grace. And so as I'm reading this journal, and I'm talking about, it's from December 2010, and I write, I'm worried about many things today. My heart is overflowing with anxiety and woe. And then I write, it may be hormonal changes, but it's still so real. Lord, I need your peace. I need you to rescue me from these feelings. You promise that if anyone comes to you and asks, they will receive. Lord, I need your assurance of existence, not in giant signs or miracles, just the love in my heart. Peace and comfort as great assurance that you have not forgotten me. And I think, like, I could have written this just yesterday. This is exactly how I still feel. And even though he does give me great signs and miracles and wonders, I still struggle to believe. I feel like St. Thomas so often. You know, all of his friends saw Christ alive. And he said, I won't believe it until I feel, till I touch the wounds, you know, until I put my fingers in his side. And he did need to see Jesus in the flesh to believe. Though it doesn't say he needed to actually touch the wounds in the scriptures. It does say he needed to see him. I don't know. I feel like such a doubting Thomas. That's where that comes from, by the way. I feel like such a doubting Thomas some days. And sharing with this group yesterday and all the last 4 days, and this big aha moment that God is real. And how do I know God is real? Because he was historical. And I don't know why I never thought of it before. And I don't know why all of a sudden it made such a difference to my belief. And it just, oh my gosh, it's overwhelmed my heart. Like he believe because he's real. And I remember I was driving down the highway and I saw a butterfly and I was like, oh, you know, Lord, why should I look at that butterfly as an assurance that I'm okay? Because I'm always looking to know that I'm okay. And it's where my biggest anxiety lies. Like one of these days I'm not going to be okay. But I just need constantly for the Lord to tell me you're okay. You're okay. And, you know, to bring that message yesterday and all this week to those people, like I wish somebody had stood before me as a young Catholic and said, listen, God is real and he makes himself real. He was a historic figure and he is alive and he watches over you and he does still do signs and wonders and miracles and he loves you and he speaks to you in his word. I wish I had opened up his word so much sooner, but I'm grateful that I've had 10 years of it. And I pray I have 30, 40 more years of spending time in his word. I think you can never get to the depths of who God is. In fact, I was telling Sonia Corbett, my guest a few weeks ago for her new book, Fearless, that I was thinking about doing a scriptural show because she does one. And I thought it's called the Bible Study Evangelista. And I said to her, I feel like I want to do more scripture on my show. And like, I'm not going to do your show. Your show is very different. But I don't think there could ever be enough scriptural shows. And she said, how are you going to do a show every single day about scripture? Like, are you worried you're going to run out of material? Like, oh my goodness. No, we're going to tap into the dynamic word, the living word of God. And it is just forever going to be revealing God to us. Like this is the revelation of God to us. And he is the God of the universe. I can't imagine we could ever get to the depths of who he is and what he has to say to us. And since I do feel like I can't be the only one who has the same temptations or struggles that I just feel like I'm constantly on a hamster wheel. Like I can't be the only one. So we're going to together, and I hope that you will continue to join me and share, tell others, like if you're struggling and you really want, you know, someone who understands, tell them about A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Send me messages. Tell me what you need to know more about. Let me help you find God's word to bring those answers to your heart and to your life that you need. Let's journey together. For 2 years, I feel like we have built up a friendship, but now I think God's asking us to go even deeper. We'll be right back with A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Well,
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Sorry about that. I am sharing with you today just my heart, really. I'm just letting it all out today. This is where I believe the show is being called to, where I believe the Lord wants us to travel next, 2017, together. I'm praying you stay along and join me for the new ride. We're going to finish off 2016, continuing to look at books, of course, and there'll be books in 2017, too. Spiritual reading is a huge part of who I am and what I do, but I really feel that, especially after yesterday's experience, I am going to get to it, I promise, that the Lord wants us in His Word, and that that's where He wants to talk with us and encounter us, or us encounter Him, inspire us, answer us, all the wonderful things that God so wants to be to us, who He is. I mean, He loves us, and He wants to be a part of our life, and not just in some mystical way, but in our everyday ordinary life, not just that 1 hour on Sunday. And you know, this has all kind of been coming to a head for a few months now, as I've been really realizing that I've been away from God's Word. And like, why am I so anxious again? Why am I so, you know, disjointed and procrastinating and just not focused at all in what I'm supposed to be doing or who I am? And just that, and I realized I hadn't really been turning to His Word. I've been so busy, even when I am studying, reading books or preparing for, you know, in my own prayer time, I realize I've been preparing to minister. Like, I'm always thinking about how can I teach this, or, you know, what is the Lord trying to tell me to tell you? And I realized that that's fine in a way, but it's not very authentic if I'm reading the scriptures, figuring out how to teach it, when the Lord's like, no, I want to encounter you. And in that encounter, your sharing of your story is going to be far more a teachable moment than some crafted lesson or, you know, wonderful prose. We know I'll never be golden-tongued. I will never be St. John Chrysostom, which I think I'm saying that wrong. But Chrysostom means, you know, golden-throated or golden-tongued. Like, he was a golden-mouthed, one of those things. But he was an eloquent speaker. His homilies are renowned. And he really knew how to put words together and apparently say them. Unlike me, I'm just giving you my heart, which is often broken in little pieces. The Lord is mending and pulling me together. And I know that after experiencing His healing power through the scriptures and through the sacrament and through prayer, I want you to experience that too. And let me try to explain this. I tried to tell my husband all this yesterday, and he just looked at me blankly. He's like, what do you want? All right, well, that's neat. But I think I'm going to get a better reaction from you. Here's hoping. No pressure. Okay. So let's back up the train a little bit here. So the new physical experience that my body is having is this pressure or stitch or sometimes pain, not really a pain, but like an ache, like a muscle ache, like your back aches. It's just on my side. And when I was on retreat with the Daughters of St. Paul, and of course they are very Pauline, meaning they are great followers or devotees of St. Paul and his writings and his teachings. And at the same, almost at the same time, the daughter that I was doing spiritual direction with, excuse me, and myself both kind of giggled when we thought about the pain on my side. Well, why would that be funny? Well, there's a part in scripture where St. Paul is asking God three times, he says, three times I asked you to remove this thorn from my side, and yet it is still here. And you think that during that break, I would have opened up to the scripture that it says this on so that we could actually read it together. Well, that's part of, I guess, getting used to doing the scriptures together. So I'm going to have to learn to actually open them together. So he is complaining and saying, you know, three times I've asked you to remove this thorn and you have not. It is still there. And he says, you know, God says, you know, I want you to know that my grace is sufficient. This is the Allison Abridged version of the scriptures. You're going to get that quite often. And he's like, this is so that you rely on me. So, you know, and then he also tells Paul, you've had great revelations given to you. And if you didn't have this thorn, if you didn't have this thing that kept you reliant on me, looking for me, then you would just become prideful and boastful, and you wouldn't be an effective minister of my word. And this just struck me so much. This is what happened in adoration yesterday. So sister got me thinking about the thorn in my side. And then yesterday in adoration, I opened up to that scripture. And it also says in there that the thorn was given to him by Satan. And it was given to him by Satan. I put it in my notes. It's 2 Corinthians 12:7. I thought I opened to that. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 12:7 is the boat. The thorn in his side. He said, I received wonderful revelations. You're given the thorn in my flesh to torment me. It's given, sent by Satan to torment me, to keep me from becoming proud. So I thought about this for a while, and this is something that I like to do with scripture. Like, I read it and then I contemplate it. Like, what is God trying to tell me in the big picture? And then what is God trying to tell me for my life and what's happening and what I've been praying about? Because for me, when I go to the scriptures, especially if I've been praying about something, I believe God's going to answer me in there. He says, ask and you will receive, knock and the door will be open. Ask, seek, and you will find. I knew there was something in there. And there's other place in scripture where it says, believing you will receive. So I believe that when I sit and open up these scriptures and I've prayed, that the Lord's going to answer me. I believe that. I have to say that there's times that I get the answer and I think, then I start to doubt him. Like such a dork. I believe you're going to answer me, but then you're going to answer me and I'm going to doubt because I'm human and I'm just going to do that. Not very smart, but it's who I am. And I think that the Lord knows that, obviously. He created me. And I think I do delight him in my head. Like, I believe this, but I don't. That's probably why in Mark's gospel, we have the very famous line, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. We'll talk about that one another day as well. See, there's just so much that I want to share with you. And I find that, you know, every time I read the word of God, there's so much I learn that it changes my heart, and I want it to change yours as well. Again, I know I can't be the only one who needs this word, that needs this encouragement and this direction in my life. So I'm contemplating 2 Corinthians 12:7 about the thorn in my side, which I have almost every day now. It goes and it comes and it goes, which the doctor told me is a sign that it's nothing serious. So I've been to the doctor. The doctor said it's nothing serious. It's been going on for years, and the eating helps, but yet there's still something going on. And then I look at God's word, and here's St. Paul saying, I have this thorn in my side, and it's left very ambiguous. And I believe that that is so, because each one of us has our own thorn. And when we read the word of God, it teaches us God's the big picture, but always it's there to also teach us what God has to say to us. So my thorn is literally a pain in my side. And then I'm thinking, well, it's sent by Satan to torment me. Well, why would God allow that? Like he's supposed to protect me. And God doesn't bring evil, but he allows it. And we learn in Romans 8:28 that he'll make good of all. And again, if he's allowing it, if he's allowing an evil or a trial or a tribulation, if he's allowing this, it's because he wants to bring it to a greater good, that he wants to prepare us. And this is what brought me to from here. So from the moment I was thinking, God allows it because he sees the good. In this, he's creating in me humility, reliance on him. And those are all things I need. Then my heart was brought to 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, which is kind of how this all began. And this also cross-references to Romans 8:18, which one of one of our wonderful listeners sent it to me one day, and she said, I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to read this. And it's almost the same exact message. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go to commercial, and we come back, we're going to dissect it further. So we do not lose heart. It's called Living by Faith, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though our outer man is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And this is what the Lord is trying to teach us, that we are eternal beings, to be eternity minded. Do not lose heart. And this is a light and momentary affliction. Even if it was the serious thing that I worry about, it still only be a light and momentary affliction, because our life here is but a blink, but a whisper, but a breath. Our eternal life is what we should be striving for, what we should be looking for, what we should be hoping in. And the fear and anxiety of this life is when we lose sight of the big picture of what God is really calling us to. We come back. I want to share with you the story of Esther. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Don't miss my interview tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, with the author of Navigating the Tiber, Devin Rose, out from Catholic Answers Press, Catholic.com, for more information. I talked about the book yesterday, and tomorrow we will dive even further into it with the author, Devin Rose. But I felt today that the Lord was just calling me to share with you not only the scriptures and this experience that I had with him yesterday in adoration, but kind of get your feedback. Is this, I feel like this is where I want to bring the show in 2017. I want to do more shows like this, kind of more daily shows like this. Definitely still bring on Sarah Reinhart. Can't have life without her on the show. And Christina Trinidad hopefully will be able to come back again in 2017. She's taken some college courses and would love to have her again back on as my regular guests. But I think I want to move away from that normal, that format of one book a week. And I really feel like I want to have us, like, we've built up a friendship and a relationship, and I want to bring us both further into our relationship with God now through His Word, through the scriptures, through prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Like, how do we live that? How do we journey with that together? I mean, we have seeking hearts, right? And our seeking heart needs spiritual reading is just a piece of it. And we've done a great job kind of taking that spiritual reading and bringing us closer to God. But I just feel like His Word, that's where we're supposed to be, and that's where we're going to go. So please let me know what you think. Send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, or go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Let me know what you think. I know I've been a little scattered today. Hopefully, you know, in 2017, it might be a little less scattered when we're, you know, doing this more regularly, but this is the Holy Spirit. Like, I have my notebook in front of me, and I have my book, but I don't have notes. Like, this is how I teach when I stand in front of a live audience. I don't have notes. Sometimes I have a PowerPoint, but I just think the Holy Spirit is far more powerful when I let Him be the Holy Spirit. I usually start every live presentation by saying, well, I mean, I guess it's always, I guess you say a presentation. You know, when I'm out speaking, I'm hoping everybody there is live. When I'm out speaking, I always start with, Lord, let your work and will be done, and let me get out of your way. So in my heart, I guess the Holy Spirit is a little scattered, but I think it's because he is touching upon little things that spark new ways for us to encounter him. And he's so vast. Like, how could we ever tap all there is to know about God? So if there's something that I started to go down and maybe I went down a different rabbit hole and you're like, hey, no, I wanted more of that, send me a message. That's going to be the beauty of the new format in 2017, is that I will be able to the next day go back to that and say, okay, we left off here, or let's revisit this scripture. This is going to be more about you and I together, and not about the books that I'm bringing to you, but our journey. And nothing to say bad about the books. I loved it. I think that's been such a great way. And I'm always going to be touching on books, and I'm sure I'll still have authors come on and talk about their books. But I think the author of our life that we need to be really looking at is God and the scriptures, and diving into those. So anyway, back to this experience. It was just, and maybe, I don't know, hopefully I'm weaving this and you're seeing what happened. Like, I take this journal that I find from 2010. I sit down in adoration. I start to realize that I'm still struggling with all the same things. I've made progress, but there's still so much that I need to allow God into, and especially when it comes to my anxiety, my health, my work happens to be ministry, but I think all of us are called to some type of work, whether it be at home or out of the home or both. Some of us try to juggle all of it. The Lord wants to be part of each and every moment of that. And his word is really the light upon our feet, on our path. It says in the Psalms, let the Lord's word be the light on your path. And he wants to illuminate us along our path to heaven, you know, being eternity minded. So I'm reading, reading the scripture, this light and momentary affliction, which was related exactly to Romans 8:18 that one of our listeners, Shelby, had sent me, which I'm so grateful for. And just to see that, because those little moments are like the Holy Spirit's like affirmations. Like, if you think something and then you find it in scripture and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, that's a God-sidence moment. That's God, I believe, breaking through. Like, that veil between heaven and earth, I'm learning every day, is thinner and thinner than I think. And I'm the one who makes it, you know, a rock, when the Lord wants to make it just a piece of like a Chanel, you know, like just a very, I don't know. I watch Project Runway, but I don't know fabric. Like, you know, like just a sheer, like those sheers that we put up on our windows and the curtains. That's that thin veil between heaven and earth. And I'm putting up velour, velour curtains. And the Lord's like, take those down and put up the shears. That's how close he is. So this was very interesting. So I'm reading this, and suddenly I start to think about the story of Esther, the book of Esther in the Old Testament. And she was born a Jew, a Hebrew, and she is just... I'm not going to be, watch the VeggieTales version of this. It's so wonderful. I'll put the link up. It's so cute. Anyway, so she is brought in to the king, who's going to pick out a new wife, and she gains his favor by reading to him. And then there's a decree that they're going to kill all the Hebrews, and she has to very boldly go before him, uninvited. She has to go before him and plead for the life of her people. And she's just so bold in what God has asked her to do, and takes great risk and just trusts in him. And she does save the Hebrews. And it's such a beautiful story. If you haven't read it yet, read Esther in the Old Testament. It's short. There's a movie that's phenomenal. Maybe I'll give you that link too. There was just a great movie version of their story. But what really blew my mind is when I opened up my Bible, I use the Ignatius Press Didache Bible most often. It's the RSV version. And in the beginning of the book of Esther, it says, here are the main themes. And this just, okay, so one of them is to remain faithful. Talk all about my fidelity truck all the time. Fidelity means faithfulness. What is God asking me to do? He's asking me to remain faithful. Here's the story about remaining faithful. To trust in God's providence and protection is another theme of Esther's story. And again, that's exactly what I've been looking for. Our finances are still unstable, but I've been praying to the Infant of Prague every day. Thanks to my friend Kathy for giving me this wonderful chaplet. I'm seeing movement, seeing things happen. God is providing and He is protecting us. Recognize, this is the beautiful one, recognize that God remains present and at work among His people in subtle, often unseen ways. And that is exactly what my life has been showing. Like, the Lord has been speaking to me in His word, and His word is truth, and we need to stand on this truth. You know, when I let the anxiety take over, I forget the truth that the Lord has spoken to me in His word, and I instantly become wrapped in anxiety and think, no, the doctor is wrong. I'm really sick. Or, I'm never going to get out of this financial problem, or I get very envious of all the other women doing Catholic ministry, and I think they have bigger followings, or they have better book deals, or they have a book deal, that they're capable of things that I'm incapable of. And instead of moving and doing what God has asked me to do, I get stuck in the muck, and I become very paralyzed by all of these negative thoughts. But when I go to His word, and I lean on it, when I stand in the truth, I remember the moment that I was nervous about my health, and the scriptures just opened, and I look down, and the three words jump off the page at me and says, "You will live." Like that, I can't make that stuff happen, right? Like, only God can do that. And He does. He speaks to me in His word. He tells me, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not for your woe." And there's even so much more that He showed me in the scriptures yesterday as I sat with Him and I let those truths sit in my heart and believe that what He was telling me. And I actually wrote here, "What are you trying to say, Lord? Your word seems to trying to be squashing my fear, but I have to believe, right? Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and seek, you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open." There we go. I'm knocking, I'm seeking, I'm asking, and I know that the Lord is answering. And I want that same revelation for you. I want that same joy and truth. I want you to be able to stand on His truth. And I hope that you will be as excited as I am to journey beyond, into 2017, where we really, really start to dive into God's word. Next week, I'm actually going to be featuring four of my very good blogging, writing friends. And we're going to be looking at different topics and themes that we're all experimenting with, providing content for women. And we really love your input, and to have you there next week to let us know what it is you need. A seeking heart has always been my heart to bring you closer to God, but I need to know what you need in order to do that, to provide that. So join me tomorrow morning for Devin Rose's interview, and next week for my very special blogger week. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.